Lovely to see you here, those who have taken the courage to come in this place, and those who are home. Unfortunately, today, as you could see, technology played with us. And often, I believe, it's something beyond the physical realm, beyond the technical side, and beyond our ability as humans to sort out things that in normal times we did. Because the devil is shrewd, and he works even in this technical realm. And I found myself caught this morning trying to sort out things while we should pray or worship. And that's the worst things you can do just before your sermon, just before about to preach. Normally, I try to stay outside as much as possible because I know that is an attack that attempts to defocus me from the Word of God and each one of us. So I hope we can go beyond it. Although today the sound is not very good for those at home and neither for us here. We couldn't hear the prayers and maybe we miss some great testimonies from people on Zoom because we cannot hear them. I hope that those at home can hear me well, although the sound this time comes through my phone rather through the sound system in church. The whole idea is not to get frustrated, although I know sometimes it's hard and it's easy to be observed even by the mimic of our face that we get upset or frustrated either here or at home. We want to hear, you know, the whole point is to not get frustrated but to stay in tune in the spirit with God and with one another. Even sometimes without words. By the way, do you know that we can be connected and we can sometimes communicate even better without words? You don't know that. We can experience that because, can't you hear me? Yeah. But, you know, the mimic of our face, our gestures, and heart-to-heart communication is always better than word-to-word, mouth-to-mouth. We just need to tune into that. And I hope today we may manage to tune to God's heart for our lives. As you know, we are in this short series, if you like. It should have been one sermon that because of this restricted time, I rather split it in several sermons about future. We started 3 Sundays ago and it's not an expository type of sermon exposing one single text of the Bible, but more like more a type of a theme approach sermon. And I chose to go through the word future, exploring each letter and finding meaning, looking from both perspectives, human perspective and God's perspective about future. Seeing future through human eyes that we often are so accustomed with because we live it here on earth. And also try to see future through God's eyes, which is sometimes hard to grasp because we can never grasp God. So far, we explored several letters, 4 of them, and we still have 2 to explore, perhaps one of them. Day. It will be a miracle if we can do both, as I'll see. We started, of course, with F, and just a recap for those who haven't been here or maybe managed to be on Zoom. Just a quick recap. From our human point of view, when we look at future, we may look with fear or we are frustrated because obviously we don't know the future, but through God's eyes, things are fascinating. He has the future in control. From our point of view, future is uncertain, while from God is just an unfolding event in our lives. Then T, of course, for every letter, actually, I had to play with lots of words. You cannot imagine how much time I spent preparing, and even this week, although it has been prepared, still playing with many words, but I chose time for T. Because future for us, it comes in terms of time. We cannot think of future without thinking of time. another week, another month, another year. Not to say another second, it's still time, right? While from God's point of view, future is timeless and it's all about timing. Last Sunday, we've seen that future, it's unknown for us. It is unknown. But from God's point of view, it's just unreleased destiny or unmanifested purpose, a purpose that he has in mind for each one of us. Now we come to the letter R in future. And among all the other letters with R, I had to play and spend most time. So many ideas came to my mind and I had to filter them all. Just a few examples. You know, maybe even some of you have tried to come up with some words. And it would be interesting to hear from you, maybe. Well, what would be future from our perspective when we think of this letter R, a word that starts with R?
Restoration.
From our point of view, yeah, it can be restoration, thinking of restoration. I would rather place it on God's point of view. Yeah, we can also. Restless. Yeah, I have it on my list. We are restless about future. We are resistant about future because that brings changes and we resist change.
It's resources.
I'll place it on God's side. and on ours. Because that will come through the sermon. It's about resources. We are very concerned about resources when it comes to the future. Yeah. We can be reluctant, we can be recalcitrated, we can ruminate the past and thinking about the future, we can be racy or wrapped in the idea of the future, very excited about it and so on. But choosing, I had to choose among all these and other options. I had a full page of words. I actually chose the word, it may not be very important from your point of view, but I chose the word revelation. Revelation. And I'll explain why. Somewhere deep inside each one of us, we would like to know what's going to be in the future. If we would have a revelation about tomorrow, a revelation about next month, a revelation about next year, a revelation about how will this whole pandemic end and what's going to be after it. We are concerned about, you know, knowing what's going to be. Actually, some people are so concerned about having a revelation about the future that they go and, you know, they go and check with so-called prophets in churches, just to tell them something about the future. There are people trying to guess the future. But when God looks at our concern about revelation, he's reluctant to reveal the entire future. He's very reluctant. He's not going to tell us when we are going to die, how are we going to die, or, you know, how long are we going to live. All these details, we may be concerned. I don't want to know when I will die. I don't want to know how I will die. I don't want to know about other people around me, my family. I don't think it's healthy. Some people would like to. But God is reluctant to reveal more than we should know. Because he wants us to live life in its natural course. Leave it to flow, to go naturally. It's not just about knowing things about the future, but especially when God comes to reveal a little bit, and he wants times to give us like glimpse about future. And he has done it throughout the Bible. He had prophets, not because people went to check on prophets, but because God chose a prophet to reveal something about the future of a nation or about the future of a person. And he did it in small portion. He still does it today. Even the whole notion of having a vision. And we talk so much about our new vision for an entire year, at least over a year, actually. God gave us a vision. And the whole idea about vision is about future. But it's not the entire picture. It's just an idea, a glimpse about where God wants us to move forward, to achieve, to do, and be in His purposes. But even when He comes to give us a vision, a glimpse about future, we are still very much concerned about this revelation idea. You know why? Whenever we come with a vision, especially in church, we say, look, this is the new vision God gave us. Sometimes comes through one person, sometimes comes through a team of people, a group of people. What's the first two questions that the rest of the congregation, or even us who are coming to propose it, we battle with? Two questions. Simple ones. Why? Why this vision? Why going towards that direction? Why moving towards that direction? Why? This is about revelation, knowing more than God wants us to know. Why? Well, God gives us the answer, but often it's more fortunate. And the most critical question is, how? And here I'm coming to your answer. How are we going to get there into the future? Reveal us more, God. Reveal us more, Pastor. Tell us, how are we going to achieve it? I mean, take off the whole idea of being connected to churches. Why? Why to connect? Why to merge with another church in man? A different language, a different nation, a different culture. Why to merge? Well, maybe we found the full answer why. Maybe. But how? There are so many differences. There are so many challenges. There might be some issues. It's not always easy. How are we going to do it? And maybe even with this one, we managed to sort out several things. But here, the most important example. Just a little bit before this pandemic, God gave us another vision. I believe it came from God. Another vision to build a new church. Why do we need it? Look, we have plenty of space. How are we going to do it? Reveal us, Lord. And here it comes your answer. We need resources. How are we going to resource all these new projects? How are we going to pay for such a new building and a project? It's gonna cost a lot of money. We need more information, God. It's all about revelation. How are we going to do this? And we often say this is good practice, of course, and we like to be sensible people, to plan well, to think well, and to look at what we can afford. And it's not bad in itself. When I plan to go in a holiday, I look in my wallet or in my bank account to see, can I do it? I discuss with Elena, can we afford it and stuff like that? But often when it comes with a vision from God about future, I think God is reluctant to provide all the answers. And He comes to reveal things in small portions, one at a time, because actually we need to learn that God is not just reluctant, but He wants to take full responsibility about our future. Not us. It's His responsibility about our future. This is a matter of trust. Will I trust in Him or will I trust in me? Will I trust in Him resourcing my future or in me resourcing my future? While I'm so focused on knowing more, having new revelations, and when I say this word revelation, I'm not referring to the book of the Bible, things like that, but having more information, disclosing more about little details that I think may be helpful. And actually, I couldn't develop the sermon in the same way last Sunday if I had to preach about this thing. Because this week I thought more, I prayed more, and once again I look at this entire page of letters and words with R, and I had to pick up not what I like, not what I thought is good, but I prayed and asked God, which one you think is more relevant to us as a church? And suddenly I thought of God's people, Jewish people, soon after. Well, actually, when Moses came to tell them about their future, to say, God wants you to leave Egypt. We are going to experience an exit or exodus, and we are going into our promised land. Now, in the past, we spent quite a lot of time studying Moses, studying about Jewish people in the wilderness and so on, so I'm not going to refer to these things. But I found it interesting that since I preached with a view and I looked at Moses on that Sunday, quite a few times we kept coming back to this experience. Now imagine when Moses finally gave up and said, okay, God, you know, he's been reluctant about God's future for his life. He's been reluctant. You are going to bring my people out of Egypt and take them to Canaan. No, me, no, not me, not me. Reluctant, reluctant. He has finally accepted. And he goes to the people. He says, you know, we are going to leave. I'm pretty sure them, like us, may have thought, how? Why? Why? Now we settled here, it's hard, but you know. And they kept saying this even throughout the journey in those 40 years. They kept saying the same things. It was better for cucumbers in Egypt and stuff. Looking back, looking back, looking back. And about this, we will focus more on our next lesson, our tendency to look back in the past. But they finally maybe accepted. And they said, yes, it will follow you. Among many of them would have raised the same question. Okay, how are we going to resort the journey? Tell us, it's going to be a long journey. And a whole nation. How are we going to resource? It's about resourcing. Reveal us. And I found it very interesting that God gave them the answer only just before they left Egypt. They've been through all these 10 plagues, they could see the hand of God. And while they perhaps wonder, we don't know the specific thing in the Bible, we don't have it, but perhaps they wonder, how are we going to make it? God didn't reveal all things. But just before the day they left, we find in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35, the Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. God had a plan for their future. God planned the resources for their future. They maybe have wondered, how are we going to make it? God already had all the resources. But he told them, he revealed how they are going to resource their journey only the day before they left. Is it wise for us to practice the same thing? Let's build a new church. How? Oh, where are the money? Let's do it. God, no. What do you think? How would you call me? I wonder what the treasurer, not just mercy, but any treasurer in a church would think about if I was to do exactly what Moses did. But you know, Why we need to find balance? I think we need to find balance. And there are passages in the Bible, texts in the Bible that say, you know, you need to count, you need to plan, you need to balance things, you need to be wise, of course, as we are good stewards of life and God's resources. We also need to trust God that He takes full responsibility about all my future. While I need to be a good steward of my body, the way I eat, the way I look after myself in every single dimension of life, I am not in charge of my life. He is in charge of my life. While I need to take responsibility in my own dimension of, you know, pastoral work and as trustees in a church, we need to play our part. Actually, it's not our church. It's His church. He is the one who is going to resource the vision and the future of our church. Amen. I'm so sorry, all the technology today is very distracting sometimes. But this is what I think God wants us to grasp, especially during these unprecedented hard circumstances we are in right now. A pandemic like never before, that the entire world. We shall not live in fear. We need to be responsible in what we need to do, but let God be full responsible and take us through this unprecedented time. He has a vision for our church and for His global church, wherever the church is. The church will be victorious no matter what. And the church needs to achieve its vision or God's vision for the church, whatever it is. And actually, all these circumstances sometimes does nothing else or do nothing else than just actually pushing us to rely more on God. Another R. I have to play with a few. Not on us. And when we are in times of wealth and health, that's the tendency, the natural tendency that we always have. Look in your life, look throughout history, in the Western world especially, whenever a time of prosperity, people started to rely more on them. We are in charge. We can do things. Soon, we go into a situation like we are today. Or we hit any wall, any issue, big issue in our lives. We are forced to think and accept once again, we need to fully rely only on God. Because at the end of all, whenever we will come to achieve the vision God gave us, we shall always say it has been achieved through Him, not because of us. For His glory alone, not for us to feel better or good or have more preeminences or to have a name and build a name for us, but for His mighty name alone. Now, God gives us a vision. He reveals things in small portion, like a car driving in the night. Well, we drive a car in the night. We set our journey. Let's say, let's go to Nottingham. We know, that's the vision. Nottingham is there. While we expect everything will be nice and smooth on the journey, we cannot predict all things. You don't know about the traffic, you don't know about other situations, you may have a flat tire or everything. You need to trust driving 1 second at a time. Anything can happen the next minute. But especially in the night, when you can't see so well, you have those beam lights ahead of you. They can cover you for 100 meters or so. They will only cover you another 100 meters as we keep driving. We can't see the whole journey. But as we advance, God reveals more and more. However, sometimes we may encounter things that we didn't expect. And although God has a vision for us, we always can divert. We can divert for a series of things, either because God plans that diversion, which I think, quite frankly, the diversion in our vision, it's not because of us. It's not because of your Lord or man. We didn't plan not to launch the church in October for a Sunday. We just had to accept it's not an appropriate time anymore. It's a diversion, which it's outside of our control. But sometimes we can divert badly because of our decision. As again, people of God in the wilderness did. They diverted because of their lack of faith and mistrusting God. So they had to divert for 40 years. And in this diversion, another word with R, we often develop resentment. It didn't work how it should. It didn't work as I expected. Especially leaders, I can tell you, those who come with enthusiasm, optimism, and say, this is the vision. I imagine Moses again, you know, this is the vision. We will go in this promised land. In his mind was 2 weeks, 3 weeks, up to maximum 1 month. This Moses, who was called by God and God gave him the vision, had to wander 40 more years. And he actually didn't end up personally enjoying the vision because he died before God chose it. Again, diversion in his own personal life. But resentment. He didn't develop resentment. He kept loving these people. They were grumpy. They were critique. They disobeyed him. They kept looking back. But he kept loving him, them, and following God. What is God doing? And I'm going to end with this. What is God doing when we keep diverting, regardless the reasons? Have you ever used the GPS? I do it. I rely on the GPS. And often I drive. The GPS shows, you know, the route. I choose the quickest or the fastest, whatever. And then soon you encounter these beautiful yellow signs. Diversion, diversion. And especially when you don't know the area at all, you find your way. You try follow the yellow signs, and the GPS keeps saying, recalculating, 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 or rerouting. And you have to navigate between those diversions and what the GPS says. But this is what God does in our life, very often, recalculating our rule. Oh, you messed it badly, Daniel. Today you haven't done the right decision. Oh, yes, you think if you would have a better revelation, a greater revelation, knowing more about you have done it now, you should have relied on me. You should have trusted me. You should rely on my resources. But don't worry, I'm recalculating. No matter what you have done, looking back at your past, if you are God's chosen people, when we are in his plan, he keeps recalculating our roots towards the purpose he has in mind for us, towards the vision, or towards the future. And yeah, Mark announced that maybe after my sermon, we may have some testimonies, and I want to allow that. I will stop here. But I will invite you to look back a little bit, not to live in your past, but look back. And if you may consider, God may not go over that or over, I've done it so badly here and there. And I wonder, will I ever achieve the vision God has in mind for me? All I can tell you for now, and we will develop it next Sunday, I'll encourage you to do what Paul did, and he said it so beautifully in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. We know this very special chapter in the Bible when first here Paul said, I have a desire, I may gain Christ, and I want to be found in him, and I want to know Christ, and yes, to know the power of his resurrection. But then from verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained all these, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But listen, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. I press forward, but in pressing forward towards the future, I forget what is behind. We will develop this next Sunday. Amen.
Thank you, Gemma. We'll have the opportunity to give our testimonies. If anybody is here and wants to share.
Thank you, Daniel. We still have the opportunity to give our testimonies if anybody is here and they want to share. When Daniel mentioned about the rehab lady, I'm about to put you and that's something I've spent this, I'll say 2 years coming since I left the cancer to try and recalculate everything from balancing my household, my attitude, my perception, my way of life, the goal towards getting to university. When you got this off, I know I don't want this off after the position I'm living in. Constantly. So, yeah, I'm glad to hear it. So it was literally God who was trying to put me on. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, you're beyond it now. A few minutes. Anybody want to share, please?
No.
I just want to pray for how we can all go back to school and I just want to pray for how we can go back to school and not go to school. I'm praying for the students.
Oh. Are you going to pray?
They are disabled to travel with us. because you never know what you can have the past, this time, global issues. We always say this is a shame.
Any more testimonies before we share another song? Okay. This one is one of my favorite, and I always enjoy doing it the day before. So, let me see. And I hope you get to see this video one day. Let's do this. Be free in the love of God.
Are Jesus, for Lord Jesus Christ, of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, for evermore. Amen. Amen. Thank you.